An old woman with dark brown skin leaned on a battered broom at her door. Dirty, ragged children just out of infancy spun a broken bottle. A man with pale skin, roused from sleep, peered at us, then covered his head with a piece of cardboard. Strangely enough, we were never challenged. Also, the streets were too clean. The piles of trash were well stacked. No smell of filth or urine permeated the air, and no corpses covered with carrion lay about. It seemed strange. Perhaps they conducted their affairs differently here. This area must have survived the wars better than Spadro's quadrant. More of the buildings stood undamaged. Several of the buildings were locked, and more to the point, bolted on all sides. As we could hear nothing and had no way to force entry, we left those. Others were unsafe to enter, and after hearing no reply to our shouts, we left those as well. "This is so frustrating," Mrs. Bryce said. "My poor child could be in any of these, and we wouldn't know it." No bolts secured the next building, a one-story brick warehouse. So I retrieved my picks, which I had secreted in my bodice, and began to work on the lock. Steps came from behind.
"Oh, now look here," a man's voice came, also from behind, along with a pair of hands traveling around my midsection.
At his touch, I slumped down backwards and to the side. Moving forward and likely taken off guard, he fell to the other side, being thrown over my shoulder and against the door by his own actions. I'm not sure how to explain it better. I never learned the technique's proper name. It was one of the first lessons Roy taught me, and he claimed knowing the name would interfere.
"You brood too much as it is."
I practiced the maneuver many times, but never used it in reality before. I pulled my dagger from my left boot sheath and put it to the man's neck. Pale skin, a crooked nose, and light brown hair. A dirty laborer's shirt with orange-brown pants and a coat 20 years or more out of fashion. The clothes looked as if they came from the items the poorhouse threw out, too threadbare and torn to sell. His face was smeared with dirt, and he smelled as if he hadn't bathed in a week.
"Hey, now," he glanced down with surprise and fear in his eyes. "I was just having a bit of fun with you. No need for knifing."
His speech was slurred, as if he had an impediment. I stepped back. "Fun's over. Move on." He picked up his cap and put it back on, but not soon enough to hide a look of deep chagrin.
"You smell too good for any maid of hers," the man gestured at Mrs. Bryce. "And not many maids know a way around a knife, either."
And I did. I learned knife fighting as a child from Josephine Kerr herself. "'Tis none of your concern," I fell back to pot speak, I suppose without meaning to.
"No dummy me. Pot rag dressed a slum maid, smelling like a lady, and armed."
He took off his cap and bowed.
"Pleased to meet you, Mum Spadros."